The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Baba Mitzia, Daf Tzadi Bav. Today's Daf is being studied in Nishmat Abraham Ben Ester. Ruach Hashem Tenihenu Began Eden. Amen. We begin today's Daf on Sunday here, Amud Bet, and we are starting 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines from the bottom. Over here we are discussing the different Pesukim regarding a Shomer when the owner is by him. That's the law of Be'alav Immo. As we learned already, for example, by a Shoel and a Shomer Sachar, the deen is Be'alav Immo. If the owner is there, he doesn't have to pay if something happens to the item. So now the Gemara is going to reconcile the different Pesukim that are surrounding that obligation. Abaye Savarla, Kerabi Yoshiya. Abaye holds like Rabbi Yoshiya. Now let's review quickly the machloket between Rabbi Yoshiya and the Biyonatan, which we learned on the previous daf. If you remember, Rabbi Yoshiya holds that whenever you have a vav in a pasuk, the vav connects both items together. That's why you need the word or in between to separate them. For example, if the pasuk would have said v'nishbar v'amet, or nishbar v'amet, both things would have to happen for the guy to be a hayav. That's why you need the word or to come and separate. But normally a vav is a connector, it's both. The Yonatan said no. A vav means or, unless you have the word yahdav. If it says yahdav, then it puts it together. But stam, just if you have a vav, so then the vav is a separation by itself. That's the machloket of Yoshiya and Rabbi Yonatan. So comes the Gemara now, is going to link this machloket of Yoshiya and Rabbi Yonatan in how to learn the Pesukim by Be'alav Immo. Gemara says, Abaye Sabala Rabbi Yoshiya. Okay, so Rabbi Yoshiya again holds, whenever you have a vav, it connects the items together. ומתרץ לקראי כרב יושיה. And therefore he learns the פסוקים by בעליו אמור לכרב יושיה. רבה סבא לכרב יונתן. ומתרץ לקראי כרב יונתן. כרב יונתן. אני גם רואה את זה אבא יש סבא לכרב יושיה. ומתרץ לקראי כרב יושיה. בעליו אין אמור שלם ישלם. Got one פסוק that says what? The בעלים are not around. Not with them. שלם ישלם. So then you have to pay when the owners are not around. תעמה דלת בתרוויו. Oh. So according to Rabbi Yoshiya, the way we learn this pasuk is like it's be'alav in imo, not at any stage, not at the time that he borrowed it, and not subsequently. There's two stages of it. There's the time of the borrowing where you borrow the owner as well. And then there's subsequently where you borrow the item, and then later on you borrow the item, and then let's say the animal dies. So from the fact that it says be'alav in imo, according to Rabbi Yoshiya, it's going to include both stages. That so long as the Ba'alim are not in both stages, so then the deen is going to be Shalem Yishalem. So the Gemara makes a diyuk. Ha'ita behada veleta behada patur. But if he's only in one of the stages, the owner will be patur. Which means, the way he's learning is what? I'll say it better. According to Rav Yoshiya is the one that said, whenever you have a vav, the vav comes and says both items. Like it says, or nishbar, or vamet. If it would have said the vav alone, it would include both. That's what the or comes to exclude. So he puts things together. So that when I read the pasuk over here, be'alav in imo. Be'alav in imo means in both, at both stages. Meaning, be'alav in imo, not in the beginning of the she'elah, and not later on when the animal dies. So the Gemara says, implying that only because he was not at both stages. But if he's at one stage, the owner, so no, then the guy, the Shema is going to be patur. Ah, Gemara says, what do you mean? But that we have another pasuk that says that if the owner is there, lo yishlem, and we make a diyuk. Tama di'ite betarvayu. Only because he was there at both stages. Ha'i'ite b'chada v'lepte b'chada. But if he's there for one stage and not there for another stage, mechayev. Lomar lecha, so the pasuk comes to teach you, hayal imo b'sh'at she'ela, that so long as he was there, the owner, at the time of the loan, eno tzarich liyot imo b'sh'at she'vira u'meta. It doesn't have to be with him at the time where the animal actually dies or breaks its leg. Hayal imo b'sh'at she'vira u'meta. But if he's at the later stage, tzarich liyot imo b'sh'at she'ela, he has to be at the time of the barring. So basically, none of the rules changed. We're all agreeing over here that even according to Rav Yoshia, the way Abaye is learning, as long as the owner was hired at the time of the renting or the borrowing period, then already it's considered ba'alavimu. Even though at the time that the animal died, the owner was somewhere else, doesn't matter. Since he was borrowed along with the object. Now let's read Rashi. Look at Rashi, starting three lines before they get wide. Abaye sabarla, hashta mehadeh lefirushe. Now the Gemara is going back. The Thrushid explained, how did these rabbis know the Bishat She'ela Ba'inan? The car of Ba'alav Imo is at the time of the loan. But you don't need him to be around at the time when the animal actually breaks his leg. You need the word O.
לפירוש אחד אחד בפני עצמו בכל מקום שיזכיר בית דברים.
Which means, according to Yoshia, anytime it mentions two items, it means both. That's the Yoshia's rule. For example, I'll say it again. When the Pasuk talked about a different case. When a Shoel borrows an item and it says, Vinishbar omet. If it wouldn't have said the word O, Rav Yoshia would learn Vinishbar vamet means both of them have to happen. So it means Rav Yoshia, whenever he gets to a pasuk, he always learns both items. So that was the same thing by the case of Be'alav Imo.
Next Rashi. Rav Yoshia, the mefaresh the bishat she'ela ba'inan bishat shevura ometa lo ba'inan.
Good. That she'ela is the key and shevura ometa lo.
The Rav Amet, it's like batad datet Rav Yonatan.
Now we start. The Tanya. The Tanya is the Gersin, or can she play with the Gersaot over here? Go to Rashi. The next line. Ela Haki Gersin. Here's the key. Be'alav are not there. It's because they're not there in both stages. Mashma that if they're at one stage, then he's going to be patur. Ha'ita behada veleta behada. But if he's there at one stage and not there, then patur. Uchtiv im be'alav imo lo yishalem. Tamad ite betarvayu. So we have a stira. Because there is mashma only if they're there at both stages. Mashma that if they're only at that one stage, is going to be hayaf. Ha'ki pirusho. תעמד דלתה בתרוויו שלא היה עמו לא בשעת שאלה ולא בשעת שבורה ומתה דעל כורחך לרב יושיה התרוויו קי רב יושיה always includes both items דרשת דקרא עירי בשאלה ושבורה ומתה
which means in the beginning of the pasuk it says you borrowed an item and what does it say in the pasuk and בעליו what's the language of the pasuk בעליו אין עמו. And what happened to the animal? It died or it broke its leg. Now we know that pasuk is referring to both stages according to Rav Yoshia, which is to be hayav, it's be'alav in imor. He wasn't around, not at the she'ela and not at the shivura umeta. Mashma that if he was around at one stage, he would be patur. And what stage is that the Gemara is going to say? The stage of she'ela. Continue Rashi.
בעלאקי ובעלאב אין אמו רבי יוסיה הכי כמר בעלאב אין אמו לא בזו ולא בזו and in a stage כי איך ידמש פה לאשר יקלל את אביו ואמו just like he learned in the other pasuk of יקלל את אביו ואמו he learned originally that means you're not חייב to curse both of them עד שיקלל שניהם הכנה ממש פה לבעלאב אין אמו דהי אין התרוויו כאי the word אין אמו is going on both stages אינו בזו וזו הרי שלם ישלם. Oh, but if it's in one stage, you'll have to pay. Ha yishno b'chad mehim lo yishalem. V'ha ketiv im be'alav imo demashma. Nami atarvayu yishno b'zeh v'yishno b'zehu. Telo mishutzvasha. That the only time you're not going to pay is when he's by both stages, by the she'ela and by the shivura metah. So we have the chavra, a contradiction. Make up your mind. So the Gemara is going to answer. We come in a contradiction that the only time you're going to be patur is when it happens at the time of the she'ela. That so long as, which means when I borrow an object, and I borrow the owner with me at that time of the she'ela of the object of the animal. I borrow, then I'm going to be patur.
Doesn't matter what happens after.
Doesn't matter what happens after. So that's the way Rav Yoshia approaches the pesukim. Again, I'll say one more time. When it starts off, be'alav en imo means
He's not around, not at the Sheila, not at the Shevura Umeta. Oh, be'alav inimo, yishalim. Ha, if he's around at one stage, so the Balabai, the Shomer is going to be Patur. That's one side. Now go the other way. It says, and be'alav imo, if the Be'alim are not around, I'm sorry, be'alav imo, be'alav imo, lo yishalim. Mashma be'alav imo at both stages, lo yishalim. Mashma, one stage, you're going to be Hayav. Make up your mind. So the Gemara is going to answer, and which it does, yeah. Which stage is going to be Hayav, and which stage is going to be Patur? The Ikar is so long as at the time that he borrowed the item, he borrowed the owner with him, that stage makes him Patur. But if he borrowed the item, and then later on, when the borrowed the guy at the time that it died, then already it's too late to be Patur. So to be Patur, the She'elat Hefetz with the She'elat Adam has to be simultaneous. That's the way the Yoshiya understands.
Why did he learn it on that one
side? Yeah, but I was going to ask that question. How do you know that it's that side? Well, I'll argue, maybe the one side to be Patur is that he's around at the Shevura Meta, not at the time of the She'elah. That's going to be the Gemara's question. Gemara says, Lava Savala Rabbi Yonatan. Again, Rabbi Yonatan always separates the items. When it says Abiv Ve'imo by Mekalel, it's Abiv O Imo. And Shevura Umeta, it's Shevura O Meta. He always separates it. So therefore, he'll learn the Peskim like this. Umeteretzek like Rabbi Yonatan. Detanya, Im Ba'alav Imo Lo Yishrem. The Pasuk says, if the owner, here it says it reverse. It puts the Pasuk, Im Ba'alav Imo Lo Yishrem first. Im Ba'alav Imo, if the owner is with him, Lo Yishrem. Mashma di ite betarvayu, Umashma namedechi ite behada, Veleta behada patur. According to Rabbi Yonatan, it's Mashma Ba'alav Imo, even at one stage. Because he separates the stages. Therefore, even if he's there at one stage, patur. Uchtiv be'alav in more than another pasuk says, shalem yishalem. Mashma dilete betarvayu, mashma namedechiite behada, velete behada. And when it says be'alav in more that he has to pay, it's smart that he's only there also at one of the stages. Well, make up your mind. Which stage is going to make him hayav, which stage is going to make him patur? Hayav lo maldecha, haya emo b'sh'at she'ela, אין צריך להיות אמו בשעת שבורה או מתה. היה אמו בשעת שבורה או מתה, צריך להיות אמו בשעת שאלה. Which means, the Ikar, again, he's not arguing. The Yonatan agrees to the bottom line of Yoshiya. Right, just the way it's semantics, how to learn the Pesukim. According to the Yonatan, the starting point is, he has to be there at one stage, in order to be Hayav, and similarly, one stage, if he's around, he'll be Patur. What's the stage he'll be Patur? If he's around at the time of the She'ela, the owner, Patur. If he's around, not at the She'ela, but at the time of Shevura Meta, Hayav. That's the way Rabbi Yonatan learns. So now the Gemara says, let's get the results. There's no machloket here. In resulting, everybody agrees that the Patur of Be'alav Imo, the guy has to be brought at the time of the She'ela. When you're borrowing the animal, you got to borrow the owner at the same time. That's considered Be'alav Imo. But if I borrow the animal, and then later on, I borrow the guy, the owner, and then the animal dies, I'm hayav. Because that's not considered ba'alav emo. For ba'alav emo to be a ptur, it's got to be at the time of the she'ela. It's just semantics, how they learn the pisukim. That Yoshiya, that always puts everything together, so he'll put ba'alav in emo, meaning he wasn't around for neither stage. Last time he was around for one stage, be hayav. And be'alav anymore patur, meaning for neither stage. Mashma for one stage will be hayav. And put it this way: which stage does all the rabbis agree that you hayav on at the she'ela stage? And which stage everybody agree? I'm sorry, not hayav. You're right. Which stage that you're going to be not hayav on at the she'ela stage? And which stage you're going to be hayav on if the guy joins on at the shivura meta? Why? That's the question. Why are you picking this stage to be patur and that stage to be Hayav? So the Gemara asked that question. Ipuchana. Oh, I can reverse it. Why not say the opposite? Gemara says, Mistabra she'ela adifa. Mishum dekamaiti la lirshute. When do you bring it to his possession? It comes to the possession of the Shomer at the time of the she'ela. Meaning, when does it enter, when is the deal made? The deal is made at the time of the borrowing. So therefore, if the owner is there at the time of the actual acquisition of the borrowing, that's when you're going to be patur. So the Gemara says, Adrapa, Shibura umeta adifa sheken hayab beonsim. Adrapa can say, when is the hayuf to pay? The hayuf to pay happens at the time of Shibura umeta. And therefore I'll say, if the owner is around at Shibura umeta, that's the ikar. So the Shaila is, do you go after when the beginning, or do you go after at the time of the payment? Gemara says, Ilo she'ela Shibura umeta may avid. If there wasn't a loan, then who cares Shibura umeta? What's Shibura umeta worth? The Gemara says, Ve'ilav Shibura umeta she'ela may avid. Which means, and if there was no Shibura umeta, who cares about the loan? Which means each side is trying to say that their moment is more significant. One side says the she'ela is more significant, because what? That's when the loan is taking place. Another rabbi, therefore, if the owner is there at the time of the loan, it'll be patur, because that's the ikar, the loan. Other rabbi says, who cares what's going on at the time of the loan? When does the payment hit? The payment hit when the animal dies. Oh, so if the owner's there when the animal dies, that's the ikar to be patur. So they go back and forth, hey, without a loan, shivura meta means nothing. Hey, without shivura meta, the loan means nothing. So the Gemara says, still, afilu hachi she'ela adifa sheken hayav b'mizonoteha. The time of the loan is more significant, because something happens at the time of the loan. The borrower now becomes obligated in something. In what? In feeding the animal. So therefore, the ikar time where all the things are stipulated is the time of the she'ela, because already he takes responsibility. What's the proof? By the way, when you borrow an item, the second you borrow, you have to feed that animal now. It's your obligation. So therefore, true, the monetary doesn't hit until the animal dies, but since at the time of the she'ela, it did something. It put an obligation on you. So if the owner is there at the time of the she'ela, and you're hayav in mezonot, so therefore you're going to be patur. So therefore the ikar time, again, the ikar time for the shu'el to be patur, is if the owner is there at the time where the loan is actually made. Meaning not there, meaning you hired him also. I'm borrowing the animal, and I'm borrowing you also to watch the animal or whatever work for me at the same time. That's the ikar moment, because that's when everything is stipulated.
Still, still?
Doesn't matter. He doesn't have to be there for the time of the onus. That's right. Let's say he's working in the house at the time of the onus. Doesn't matter. So long as you borrowed him at the time of the she'ela, and the she'ela already brings you to the hayuv of mizonot, so therefore it's significant, shows you're obligated to things, so therefore you're going to be patur.
But he still has to be working for you somewhat.
That's right, that's right. He's still on the payroll.
If he's not on the payroll anymore.
That's right. If you fired him, you got rid of him, no. But he's still working in the house. He's doing something. He doesn't have to. We learned on the previous daf, Rav Menuna wanted to say, he actually has to be working
dafka
on the animal. But we refuted him. And we said, even if he's in the house doing something else, it's okay. Now, this is all the learnings of Abaye and Rabbah. Rav Asher says, you know what? I don't need all these derashot. I could learn the same thing that you say much easier. Rav Asher Amar, Kera, V'chi yish'al ish me'im re'ehu. Very good. It says, when a guy's going to borrow from his friend, ve'lo re'ehu immo. From the fact that it says mere'ehu, when he borrows from his friend, it's mashma from his friend, but his friend is not with him. It's like limiting. From his friend, but his friend is not there. Then shalem yeshalem. Hare'ehu immo patur. Very good. Hare'ehu immo. But if the guy's there at the time of the borrowing, he'll be patur. It's very simple. Again, v'chi yish'al ish me'im re'ehu. When you borrow from your friend, it's mashma from your friend without your friend being there. Okay, then you hayav. But if his friend is there at the time of the loan, patur. So comes the Gemara and says, Iachi be'alav en emo, ve'im be'alav emo lamali. Right. So then, what do you need the other pesukim? Right. If the owner is there, you're going to be patur. If the owner is not there, hayav. We have this pasuk. This pasuk is laying down all the ground rules already. When you borrow an item, mere'ehu means from your friend, and your friend's not there. Mashma, if he's there, you'll be patur. So what do you know the other pesukim? Gemara says, ilav hanach hava amina hay urche dekrau. Without those explicit pesukim, I would explain the first pasuk is just talking in the regular vernacular. Maybe don't be so particular when the pasuk says, v'chi yishal ish mere'ehu. Maybe it means from your friend. Maybe it means he's even there. Who told you to make that diuk? Mire'ehu, but not that he's there. So when you see it clear in the later Pesukim, we have a difference between Be'alav Emo and En Be'alav Emo. That gives us an indication, I'll learn the first Pesuk, that Mire'ehu means that he is not there. Jeez. Without the second Pesukim, I would say the first Pesuk, V'chi Yishal Ish Mire'ehu means, Mire'ehu means from your friend, maybe he's there also, and you still Hayav. Who told you to be so particular? Mire'ehu means you're borrowing it from your friend, but your friend's not there. But once you already have other Pesukim that clearly make a Hiduk between Be'alav Emo and Be'alav Emo, now I know how to go back to the original Pesuk and learn it particularly. When it says Mire'ehu, it means from your friend, but he's not there at the time. That's why you're going to be Hayav. But if he was there at the time of the She'ela, indeed you'll be Patur. Again, everybody so far in the Gemara came out with the same conclusion. It's just semantics, how they got to it based from the different pisukim that were available for them to learn. Now we start the new pisuk. Ba'ir ami barhamma. Oh. She'ela l'rba'a ma'hu. Guy borrowed an animal to sodomize it. And she says, hu atzmo. He himself. What's the question? Is he going to be hayav and ones or not? Now, normally a borrower, if something happens, ones, he's hayav. But this guy is not a regular borrower. He borrowed it for some perverted action here. So the Gemara says, k'deshay le'inche ba'inan, maybe it's got to be what the normal people borrow things for. U'lehachi lo shay le'inche, and people don't normally borrow an animal for such an act. Odilma. What's the reason why a shoel is hayav? Mishum hana'ah. Because bottom line, he's getting hana'ah from the item. And here also, the guy's getting hana'ah. Bottom line, he's borrowing it, and he's getting all the hana'ah. So therefore, could be he'll be hayav in onsin. That's the first question. Next question. Sha'ala lida'ot ba. He borrowed the animal so he could look like he's rich. Which means he wanted credit. So what does he do? He borrows the animal so that if people come along and see, oh, he's got a nice animal there, they give him credit. If they don't see him having animals there, so they're not going to trust him that he's going to be able to be rich and pay his things back. So he's doing it just to be seen as a rich man. Lira'ot, to be seen. It's a show. Mao. Mamona ba'inan ve'a'ika. The way Tosfot learns, in the second Tosfot, right on top line, Mamona ba'inan ba'ika pirush. The mamona ba'inan shi yeshilo ba'ika. V'itenami hana'amine. Which is bottom line, to be hayav and onchin, you got to take something that has a monetary value. Well, this has a monetary value. And you are getting a hana'ah in the sense that the people, you know, you're using it for that purpose. Or dilma.
What's the question?
If he's going to be hayav and onchin. Am I hayav? I'm borrowing the amana to use. So maybe I'm not hayav and onchin. Gets hit by lightning and all this happens, am I hayav? Well, you're a borrower. Yeah, but it's a strange borrower. I'm not borrowing it to use. I'm borrowing it to still leave it there for show. Oh, so one side of it says, bottom line has a monetary worth. You borrow it so it has a monetary worth, so you hayav an onsin. Od dilma mamona di'itle hana'a mine ba'inan veleka. You need hana'a from the actual item. Just having it as a showcase, that's an hana'a. To be hayav and onsi, maybe you got to actually have to use the animal. You're plowing with the animal, you're using the actual animal itself. Now she says, shenehene bebe ma'atzma. So therefore, it's a question. Now the Gemara says, sha'ala la'asot ba'pachot mepirutamahu. You hired the animal, you borrowed the animal, but to do work that's less than a shave piruta. So the Gemara says, mamona ba'inan ve'ika. Well, mamon you have over here. Why do you have the mamon? The animal. The animal itself is worth money. Or dilma kol pachot mepiruta laklumi. Or do you say, borrowing for a work that's less than a shavet piruta, that's nothing. So therefore, it's not considered borrowing, therefore you're not going to be hayavin onsi. Which is maybe the work has to be at least a shavet piruta. Sha'al shte... Gemara continues. Sha'al shte parot. Meaning, if you're going to tell me less than a shaveh pirutah is nothing, so I'll ask you another question. You borrow two cows. La'asot ben pirutah. Together, they're going to do a pirutah's work. Mau, mi amrinan zil batar shoel umashil. Do I go after the deal between the borrower and the lender, and there's a perutah's worth of work between them, therefore mihayav, the ika, or dilma zil batar parot, or go after each individual cow, the kol hada vehada leka mamona, and each one does not have a shave perutah's worth, therefore you're not going to be chayav an onsi. That's the two sides over there. Good. Gemara continues. Sha'al mishutfin. Okay, you borrowed from a para that belongs to two people. V'nish'al lo echad mehem mahu. Which means you have a cow that belongs to two partners, and one of the partners,
he borrowed him.
He borrowed him with the cow. Now you have the ptur of ba'alav and mo, but it's not all the ba'alim. So give what that says. Now, kulo ba'alav ba'inat ba'aleka. Do you need all the ba'alim to be working for you to be patur? Or dilma ma'u palga dide miyam miftar? Or maybe you'll be patur at least half. Because since you have half the partners there, maybe you should be patur from at least half the obligation. But I continues with its questions. Sho'alim or shutafim shesha'alu. Reverse case. You have partners that borrowed an item. V'nish'al le'echad mehim. And the partners borrowed the guy as well. Right? So there's one guy. They borrowed his cow and the guy. V'nish'al le'echad mehim. To one of them.
The guy went to one of the partners.
Yes. The guy went to one of the partners. Which means you have two partners that rented a cow, right? And the guy, the owner, is working for one of the partners. So the Gemara says, "Mau kulo shoel ba'inan veleka," which means to be patur, they all have to be shoel, and in this case, over only one partner is a Shoel, which means he's only working for one guy. The partners borrowed the animal, and one of the partners took the guy with him. So now do you say, well, guys, which means in that case over there, to be patur, you need him to be working for both. And since he's not working for both, to be hayav. Or dilma, bahi palgad v'shay lemiya miftar. Or maybe on his half, he'll be patur. Because bottom line, he has the owner working for him. So on his side, he won't have to pay. Maybe the other partner will have to pay. But he'll be off the hook. Okay. Another question. Sha'al meha isha. So what'd you do? You borrowed a cow from the lady. Now, how does the lady have any properties? Very good. Now she says, nechse milog. That's the property she brings in with the marriage. She owns the actual para. The husband owns perot, the fruit. So she lent it out. She has rights, let's say, to lend it out. And she lent out the para. Sha'al ma'isha. V'nish'al ba'la. And what? Her husband was hired as well. So the she'la is, that's considered ba'alav imo. Do you say, basically, since he has perot, so that makes him like an owner? Now we go the other way. Isha shesha'ala. A lady that borrowed a para from somebody else. V'nish'al le'ba'al. And what did she do?
The owner went to her husband.
She?
The owner went to her husband.
The guy.
Right. Isha shesha'ala. A lady borrowed a cow. V'nish'al le'ba'al. And the husband...
The owner went to her husband
to the work. Right. I'll say that clearly again. Right, because we don't have to be together. The lady now borrowed a cow, and the owner of the cow now has the husband of this lady working for him.
No.
I said it backwards.
The owner of the cow is working.
Correct. Husband, right. Correct. It has to be that way. I say it again. And the owner of the cow is working for the husband. What's the shaila going to be? Well, since the husband owns Perot, so therefore, maybe it's considered that she will be Patur now and Unseen because it's like really his cow. So therefore, it's like his cow and the owner's working for the husband. Very good. So let's read that inside again. Isha Shisha'ala. She borrowed a cow. V'nish'al le'ba'al. And now the owner of the cow is working for the Baal, for her husband. Mao. And both questions are based on one premise. Kenyan perot ke kenyan guf tameh. Do you say that the husband who owns perot, it's like he owns the goof? And therefore, that she says, kenyan perot shabal ochel perot melo ke kenyan guf tameh. V'havi le ba'alim shoel v'nish'al ke ilu karka upara shelo. Right, we look at it as if the husband owns the cow. And therefore, let's review. How would you learn in both cases? So in the first case, she
lent it out.
She lent it out, and the husband's working for the guy.
She owns it.
So therefore,
the guy's patur.
He owns it. The guy who bought it is patur.
He owns it. I want to speak clearly so I don't mix it up in my own mind. Again, the first case was Sha'al Maha Isha. You borrowed a parah from the lady. Borrowed from the lady, and he took the husband. So the husband considered ba'alav. Because if you say kinyan perot is kinyan aguf, so the ba'alim is considered imor, and therefore that person will be patur. Because ba'alav imor, he's considered a ba'al. Okay? And in the second case, where the lady borrowed an animal, right, and the husband now has this guy working for him. So therefore, the means it's like the husband lent an animal because it's his animal because he has kinyan perot, and therefore he has his animal borrowed to that guy, and that guy's working for him. So therefore,
the wife and husband should
be patur. Right, should be patur because bottom line is considered ba'alav imor. Get that last case again. She borrowed an
animal.
That's like he. It's like his because he has a perot. Let's say. In that item, so therefore, it's like his, and therefore now he has an animal, and the owner. Say again.
And he borrowed a cow.
She borrowed a cow.
And she borrowed the owner to go work for her husband.
That's the second case. That's the second case. That's the case I'm talking about now.
Yeah. She borrowed a cow from her husband's worker.
Right. That's what she basically did. She borrowed a cow from her husband's worker. Exactly. So therefore, if you say that the husband has ownership over there, so it's like his cow, and therefore the deed is going to be, he does not have to pay because
the guy works for him.
Right, the guy is working for him, and it's his cow. Ashi, to get the second class kid, that's where we're going wrong. Look at Ashi. Isha Shesha'ala Lachrosh Karka Milog. Very good. The animal was hired, in that case, she borrowed the animal to work her field, Milog. So she owns the field, and the husband owns the perot of the field. V'nish'alua be'alim le'ba'al le'mlechet atzmo. And the husband hired the owner of that animal to work for him, stam. So if you're going to say that, what? That this field over here is the husband's real because he has the kenyan perot, so therefore it's considered be'alav imo, and therefore if there's an onus in that case, so therefore the lady is going to be patur, because the husband really is considered an owner. But if you say that kenyan perot is not kenyan aguf, then they're going to be hayav. Very good. Comes the Gemara and says, olo. Amar Rav Yehuda Rav Asher. New story. Ha'omer l'shiluho. Guy tells his shaliach. Tse v'hash'el li imparati. What does he tell his messenger? Go out and v'hash'el li imparati. I want you to go
get borrowed
out for me with my cow. Mao, be'alav mamash ba'ina veleka. No, the messenger is not the owner. Even though he's lending himself out with the cow, but the Torah says be'alav. He's only a shaliyah. Or dilma shiluho shel adam kemoto. Or do you say no? A guy's agent is like himself. Ve'ika. And you have it. Amma le rabah habered rab avial rab asher. Ba'al pluktad rabbi Yochanan v'rishlakish. Shaliach pluktad rabbi Yonatan v'rabbi Yoshiyah. On the last two queries that we had, the husband case, how do you look at the field? Is it kinyan perot, kinyan agub? That's a machloket amongst the rabbis. And the last case of shaliyah, that's also a machloket amongst the rabbis. You know what I was going to explain? Baal, the husband, meaning his kinyan perot, is a kinyan agub. Pluktad, Rabbi Yochanan v'shakish. Ditmar. Hamocher sadeu lachavero laperot. A guy sells his friend, he sells his field to his friend, that his friend will have perot. Rabbi Yochanan omer, now this is discussing bikurim. The halakha says the first fruits come, you have to go to the Beit HaMikdash, and you take the fruit, and you have to say, I am bringing the fruit over here from the first of the crop, from the field of Periya Adama Shenatatali, from the field that I own, or that I have. You understand what a guy from Bikurim has to say? He brings the fruit to the Beit HaMikdash and has to say, Hine heveti lecha mereshit Periya Adama, Hashem natata li Hashem. Now, in this case over here, I sold you the field. You only have kinyan perot. What's the deen? Mevi vekore, Rabbi Yochanan says. The guy that has the field for perot can say, Hine veti mereshit peri adama, me adama shenatata li. Hey, you only own perot. He owns kinyan perot, like kinyan a goof. Therefore, he can say in front of the Kohen, from the field that I have. Because perot is like goof. The Shakish omer, mevi ve'eno kore. The Shakish says, you can bring the fruit, but cannot say that statement because you're not the owner of the field. So you can't say, min ha'adama asher natatali. The Gemara explains, Rabbi Yochanan amar mevi ve'kore, kinyan perot kinyan ha'guf tameh. The Shakish amar mevi ve'eno kore, kinyan perot lav kinyan ha'guf tameh. Good, straightforward, the machloket. By Bikurim. Good? Shaliach peluktad Rabbi Yonatan Rabbi Yoshia. The Shaliach is machloket between two rabbis also. The Tanya. Ha'omer la'potropos. Guy tells a agent. Potropos. Kol nedarim shete eshti noderet mikan ad she'abo memakom peloni hafer la. He's going away on a business trip. Tells the agent, listen, any neder that my wife makes till I get back, I want you to nullify. The deen is ve'afir la, and he did it. Yachol yu mufarim, doesn't work. Tamud omar, isha yekimenu, the isha yefirenu. It's gotta be the husband. Devrei Rabbi Yoshia. So you see Rabbi Yoshia doesn't go with this business of shiriut. It's gotta be the husband. So similarly we'll say, in the case of here where you tell the shaliah, go and rent or borrow out my cow with you. So that's not gonna be good. Right, you need ba'alav, mamash, just like you need husband, mamash. I want to stop it for a second. What? Rabbi Yoshiah doesn't know this principle of shiluchos shel adam kemoto? Just because you're found by nidarim, what's it got to do with the case of shiluchos shel adam kemoto? You're not going to tell me he doesn't know the shiluchot bechlal. El pshat is just like the pasuk says, isha, that means you need the husband, isha, the husband. So to over here when it says ba'alav, Ba'alav is Ba'alav. You need the actual owner. But if the Shaliyah is there, it's not considered Ba'alav and more. That's the way of Yoshua. It could be in other cases, you agree to Shiloh Shadam Kemoto. But here it says Isha, and here it says Ba'alav, so therefore it's Dafka. Rabbi Yonatan Omer, Matsinu Bechol Makom, Shiloh Shadam Kemoto. And therefore, the Shaliyah can also break the Nedarim as well. Which means if the husband tells the Shaliyah, do me a favor, I'm going away, break the nidarim, he can do it as well. Therefore, if you tell the shaliah, go and lend out my parah, lend out yourself, it's considered be'alav emor, and the guy's going to be patur. Next case. Amale Rav Ilish l'rava. Okay, Rav Ilish told Rava. Ha'omer le'avdo. The guy tells his Eved Kena'ani. Tse ve'hash'il im parati. Go and lend yourself out with my para. Now, tiv'el leman damas shelochos shel adam kemoto, tiv'el leman damas shelochos shel adam eno kemoto. We can ask this question according to both opinions. Whether you owe shelochos shel adam kemoto, or even if you owe shelochos shel adam en kemoto. Tiv'el leman damas shelochos shel adam kemoto, Maybe the opinion that says Shiluchos Shadam Kiboto Hani Mili Shaliach Debar Mitzvahu, when the Shaliach is on equal footing as you, that he's obligated in mitzvot. Abal Eved Elav Bar Mitzvah Lo. But an Eved that's not Hayav in mitzvot, like the owner, like the guy, could be, you don't say Shiluchos Shadam Kiboto, which means maybe the Shiluchos Shadam Kiboto is only when the Shaliach is like you. But in this case, the Eved is not Hayav in mitzvot like you. Therefore, we'll say that that's not considered Be'alav. Or Delma. Afilu leman davar en shiluchos shel adam kemoto, or maybe the opinion that says en shilucho hanimi li shaliach, that's when he's an adult and he's a shaliach. Aval yad eved keyad rabo damya, or maybe by an eved I could say an eved is not pshat shaliach, he's an extension of my hand. Eved is eved, so even if I don't normally hold shiluchos shel adam kemoto, but maybe eved's better because the eved is a pshat, it's me, it's an extension of my hand. Amar le mistavra yad eved ki yad rabo damya. Very interesting. Which means, if you send a regular guy, according to one opinion, no good, no shilichot, en shilichot shadam kemoto in this case, it's ba'alav. But an eved is better, because the eved is me, he's an extension of my hand. And therefore, he's considered ba'alav in this case. Before we go further, let's just review all the sifikot quickly. Sifikot with ba'alav emo, that's the ones I want to review, the ba'alav emo ones. So Shoel Para Shel Shutfim, you borrowed a para of partners, and you borrowed one of the partners. Do you need all the Baalim, or even one of the Baalim is enough to poter you from hef? That's one question. Did not answer that question. Shutafim Shishalu, partners that borrowed from one guy, and one of them borrowed the guy. Okay, you need all of the shoel, or not? Because here only the partner, only one guy. So maybe one guy's patur on that hip.
We don't even know that.
That was a question. That did not answer. And therefore, the deen is going to be hamotzi mechaviru alav raya. Since you cannot prove who's right, the burden of proof. You want to charge me? Prove to me that I have to pay. That's hamotzi mechaviru alav raya. Okay, then we went into the case of nechsim milog. First case was Hashoel Nechsem Milog. You borrowed Nechsem Milog.
The wife borrowed.
The wife borrowed.
And the husband took.
No. The wife gave out Nechsem Milog. Babal Emo. And the husband was with him. The husband was with him. She gave the animal with the husband. Right. And then a lady that borrowed an animal to work her Nechsem Milog. And the husband took the owner. To work for him. Right. So that's what he said, it's a mahloket. Okay, then we had the mahloket of the shaliyah. And the Eved, everybody holds Yad Eved, Kiyad. Okay, those are all the cases reviewed. Very nice. Okay, we continue. The first case is the first case. Ba'ein Ami Bar Hama. Ba'al bin Nechse Ishto. Okay, new subject now. Ba'al, the husband. How do you look at him when it comes to the Nechsem Milog? Shoel Have or Socher Have? Is he considered a borrower? Because bottom line, he's not paying, he's using it for free. Or do you look at him like a Socher? Like a renter?
For what?
For his obligations. If he's a Shoel and he damages it, something happens, could be Chayav even in Onsi. But if he's a socher, so a socher can be like a shomer sachar. Now, give me the logic why he's considered like a renter. He's not paying anything. So the pshat is he is. He's getting paid for free. You tell me he's a renter. Renter means he's paying something to the lady. What is he paying to the lady?
He's still watching.
Divorced. Right, no. Remember we learned, the reason why the rabbi is established Nechsem Milog, that the husband eats perot because of Pirkona. That if she gets taken into captivity, the husband has to redeem her. So for that potential situation where he's going to have out of pocket on the redemption, the Achamim gave him perot. So therefore you could look at him as a renter. Because bottom line, he's paying potentially for Pirkona. That's the rental fee. So that's the Gemara's question.
Are otherwise he's a borrower.
Otherwise a borrower, exactly.
He's never considered an owner.
That's the two sides. No, not an owner. He's either Shoel or he's a Socher. Now, Nashi, Shoel Havi, Kasal Kadatak Letchayeb Be'onseh Behemot, Nechseh Melog Shela. Right, he's working with the animals of Nechseh Melog. Something happens to the animal's owners. If he's a Shoel, he's got to pay. If he's a Socher, he'd be Patur. The Gemara says, after he asked the question, who asked this question, by the way? Nami Bar Hamma. Amar Rava, so Rava says like this. Lefum Hurfa Shabishta. You were trying to be so sharp in trying to figure out this question that you made a mistake. Because, listen to what he asks him. He says, Manavshach, Shoel Have, you want to call him a Shoel? She'ela be'alim hi. Once he gets married to his wife, so now already he's a Shoel, his wife's the owner. She'ela be'alim is going to be patur and honest anyway. Same law. If he's a renter, the law of renter also is if the Ba'alim are there, you patur. So therefore, what's the difference? You're asking, is he Shoel? Is he going to be hayab be'onzi?
She's
working
for him. She's considered working
for him. She's there. Yeah.
But she's working
for
him.
Oh, so look at that. She. Sheila b'bayim. She Yeah, she worked hard. The wife does chores for the husband. And she came with the animal. So then it's the time of the. And it's the time of the Sheila. When she got married, she brought in the animal. And she brings herself into the marriage. So she's lending the animal and herself. And all the ingredients. So what's the difference? Even if it's she'ela, you'll be patur fe'ones. Be'ala ve'mo. Socher also. Socher, you'll be patur fe'ones. Because, be'ala ve'mo. Originally we thought, there's a big difference. She'el is hayab ve'onsin. Socher is not hayab ve'onsin. Now we're saying, no matter. She'el will be patur be'onsin. Socher is patur be'onsin. Okay, right. We have to readjust the question. Ela ki kame ba'ele l'rami bar hama de agar mina para vehadar nasba. He rented the animal from the lady before he married her. He rented it from a single girl and then he married her. So Rabbi bar hama is saying, Shoel have once now he gets married, is it a Shoel or is it a Socher? So Gemara says, Gemara's going to explain the two sides. Shoel have, it's considered maybe a Shoel, I mean once they got married, and he gets down to Nechseh Milog, and all the stuff comes to him now, not as a renter anymore. Now, Nechseh Milog is his rights. So therefore, ve'atya she'ela be'ba'alim u'mafke'a sechirut shelo be'ba'alim. I'll say now, at the time of the marriage, the she'ela with the lady uproots the rental without the lady. Which means the status changes. I told him I was a renter. Rental, I'm hayav on everything. Hayav, honest, I mean, patur, whatever, but I rented it, right?
She came in.
Now, what happened? I marry that lady. So now I'll say, once I marry the lady, it's a new deal now. Now it's a she'ela with the wife, the owner, and patur. Or dilma, socher have. Or maybe I say, no. You remain a renter. Uskirut kedekaima kaima. And the original rental agreement remains. Which means, if you look at it as it's renting, so you're the same renter that you were before. And therefore, it's like a continuation of the original rental, which was done without the Ba'alim, and therefore, you'll be... You won't be patur from onus. It's not considered... It's not considered schirut be'alim. You won't be patur from onus. You won't be patur from owners because it's not considered schirut bebe'alim. If you say, on this side,
that it's sechirut, that watching the lady's goods is considered sechirut. So then, when I originally rented it, she wasn't married to her. So chir is chayav on everything, not on unsi. But everything else is chayav on. Now you're going to tell me he married the lady. I'm not going to consider it sechirut bebe'alim. Because if I would consider it sechirut bebe'alim, I would be patur on everything.
Right,
on everything. I'll consider it sechirut, but from the original sechirut, therefore I'm going to be hayav on everything.
Not honest.
You never hayav on honest.
I'm going to be
avida. Now the only question is, why don't you say that? No, just like you tell me, if I'm a lender, if it's a shoel, it's a whole new deal, and it's considered shoel bebe'alim. By sechirut, say the same thing. Now that you're renting it, and now that you're getting married, make a new sechirut. Now it's a new sechirut with the wife, and if you should be patur on everything. So the Gemara asks, "Umay shena di ishoel have teati sheela bebe'alim umafkea sechirut shelo bebe'alim isochen lameave titi sechirut bebe'alim betipu sechirut shelo bebe'alim." Just like originally, I'm going to speak it out clear. Originally, you what? You rented it. If you say that Nechsem Milog is a borrower, so you say, the rental is uprooted, now it's considered a borrower with the Baalim. Therefore, you patur on everything. Right. So you send me my Shechirut. I rented it first, right? If you're going to tell me that Nechsem Milog, you're a renter, so now say, the rental without Baalim is uprooted, now it's considered a rental with Baalim when he gets married, therefore, you should be patur as well. For the same way you said the She'elah is uprooted, okay. Uproot the rental and make a new rental with Baalim. And now you're right, I have to adjust the question again. Ki kamebaya l'rami bar chama kegon de agra ihi para me'alma vehadan nesaba. Wow. She rented a cow from somebody. She rented the cow. And then she married the guy.
Oh.
So she's coming into the marriage with a rented cow. Now, you got to accept, even though Rabbi Akiva Eger has a big question over here, you got to accept that the husband has rights to that cow. It's like a nechsem milog. Even though Rabbi Akiva Eger doesn't understand, where's the nechsem milog of it? It's not even his really, it's just a rental. How does the husband even have his hand in there? But the Gemara is assuming that when she comes in with a cow, even though it's a rental, it's hers. She brings it into marriage, the husband can eat pirot. Now once you say that, what's the she'ela? Oh. So the Gemara says like this. Now you have two people involved here. You have the owner of the cow, the lady who is a socher, and the husband who was either a shoel or a socher. Get me good. Have the owner. He rented it to the lady. Well, she's a renter, for sure. When she gets married, enters the husband. Because this cow goes to the husband. What is the husband now?
To her.
Either he's a renter or a borrower. That's the safek. So you have three players here. An owner, a renter, and a husband. Basically, what's happening here, this would be analogous to a case we learned earlier in the Masechet. A guy borrows something or rents something and then lends it out to somebody else. This is an interesting case. It's really a mahloket, which we need to know something about right now. It's a mahloket between the Banan and Rabbi Yosef. Listen to the story. I rent an item, I rent an animal. I lend it out to somebody else. Now what happens? Onus happens. The animal dies by the borrower. So there's two ways of looking at it. One way of looking at it is the owner's out. The owner's out, because bottom line,
a socher is not
hayav in onus.
And therefore, this happened.
The socher gains in that case.
Honest. So now the socher can collect from the shoel.
That's strange.
The socher goes to the owner. See you later. Honest. The socher that goes to the shoel. Hey,
pay me.
So that's a case where he gains. Other rabbis said, you can't do that. You can't do that. You cannot benefit now from the situation because you lent it to that guy. The deen is, you're going to have to pay the owner, and then you go deal with the shoel. Now, those are the two sides. Once you get that machlok, which we learned earlier, the Gemara is going to use that machlok to discuss, because this is the same dynamics.
If the husband's a borrower.
Very good. So now the Gemara is going to say same dynamics. Guy rented it to the lady, and now the lady gives it to the husband. So, well, he has rights. He has rights. Came in. So Gemara says, Alibad de Rabbanan de Amri. According to the rabbis that say, Shoel Mishalem la Socher, that the Shoel has to pay to the Socher, and the Socher is Patur. Lo Tib'alach. Then you have no question. De Vadai. She'ela
b'be'alim
hi. Which means, for sure, that's going to be considered she'ela b'be'alim. Let's speak it out. According to the rabbis hold, the shoel has to pay the socher.
Socher is patur.
And socher is patur to the owner.
In this case, the wife is patur.
So this case over here, the husband and the wife, which means, now, something happens to the animal, let's say,
husband's patur.
Right? The husband? No.
The husband has to pay the wife.
Husband would have to pay
his wife.
The wife.
No, he wouldn't have to pay. He wouldn't have to pay. She wouldn't have to pay.
That's why, because it's be'alav emo. Let's speak out again.
Right.
You have the guy rented the animal to the lady, and now the husband comes into the story. Okay? What happened to the animal? The animal died. Onus. Okay? Now, normally the shoel is chayav onus. But it's considered be'alav emo.
So
who's the be'alim? The lady. Why? Because in a normal case, going to the rabbis, he goes to the shul to get paid. So he's like the owner of the animal. So therefore, that we be'alav emo, no question, be'alav emo, the husband would be patur in that case. However, kitibayelach alibad Rabbi Yoseh. But according to Rabbi Yoseh de Amar, Tazir para le ba'alim arishonim. No. In that case over there, you gotta give the para to the original owner. Which means, the shoel has to pay the para to the original guy.
Because there's no ba'alav emo.
Right. Let's go slow. In that case of Rabbi Yosef, three guys you have an owner, you have a renter, and he borrowed, lent it to somebody. The animal died. According to the B.O.C., the guy that borrowed has got to pay. The middle guy goes away. The shoel's got to pay. So therefore, in that case over here, this guy's obligation, the husband, he's obligated now to the original owner. So therefore, it's not considered ba'alav emo. So the Gemara's question is, my shoel have Osocher have it, which means how do you look at the husband? Do you look at him as a shoel, or do you look at him as a socher? Which means if you look at him as a shoel, so then what is hayav it onsim? And if he's going to be hayav to pay the original guy, the owner, or do you look at him like a socher, and a socher is patur? Here you can have enough kabira. Because once you say that the husband has to pay the owner, I don't know, the ladies, I'm not related to this lady.
Right.
She's not Ba'alav. Ba'alav is over there.
Who are you calling Ba'alav?
That's right. Bottom, you said it very good. Right. Bottom line, who are you calling Ba'alav? According to the Banan, Ba'alav would be the Sukhir. In this case, it's the lady. Therefore, Ba'alav and more. What do I care what he is? No. If he's a shoel, if he's a zocher, be'alav emo, patur. But doesn't matter.
The original owner, according to Chachamim, then
doesn't get paid by the wife either, because she's not chayav.
The original, the Shoel pays the socher, the socher's patur.
Why would the husband be a socher?
Let me just speak out first. So therefore, according to the Banan, it doesn't matter. Because bottom line, the lady's the Baalim, because the Shoel owes the socher. I'm the owner. According to the B.O.S.E., the lady over here is not the owner. The Shoel owes the owner. Owner, the original guy. Oh, so now I got to know, what are you, husband? If you're a Shoel, Shoel's patur be'onsin. I'm sorry. Shoel is hayab be'onsin. I'll have to pay. If he's a socher, socher patur be'onsin. And you don't have the patur of be'alav anymore. That's the Gemara's question. Amar Rava, Rava says Hadusha. Ba'al, the way we look at the husband, it's all the way we look. Lo Shoel have, ve lo socher have. You know what he is? Ela lokeya have. It's like he bought the field. It's like he bought the field for the perot. It's like a regular case I told you before, by Bikurim, where the guy buys a field for perot, which means he's not a shomer. He's patur from everything. We give him the status of an owner. Why? Midrabi Yosef Rabbi Hanina. Da'amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Hanina. Be'usha hitkinu. Takanat Usha. Ha'isha shemachra b'nechsem midlog b'chaye ba'ala. Great case. Have a lady, husband was still alive. She sold her nechsem midlog. She has a right. She sold the goof now to another guy. Umeta. Now what happens? She dies. So now the guy who bought it, he says, thank you very much. I'm taking the perot now. The thing is, no. The rabbis in Usha said, Habaal motzi miyad alekuhot. The husband could come along and take it back. Because we consider him lokeach rishon. Again.
It's paid him, right?
A guy has a field. Goslo. Guy has a field. He's eating the perot. His wife owns the goof. That's the dinam nechsem milog. She comes along in the middle of the marriage. She sells it to another guy. She sells the field. She can only sell the field. That guy said, beautiful. He has a field. And she dies. Beautiful. So now he wants to take the field and the perot. He wants to take everything. Hachamim came along and said, so that doesn't happen. We're going to give as if he's a lokeya, meaning I bought it first. Therefore, your sale over here is not valid. Not valid. Therefore, it comes back to the owner. If you just consider him a shomer, you sold it, I'm out. But if you consider me, I'm a lokeya, hey, I have first rights over here. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Habal motzi miyad lekuchot, alma en la reshut limkor." By the way, she had no reshut to sell in the first place. I bought it. Okay, back to our question now. Once you consider a buyer, what's the deen now? Patur on everything. He's not a shoel. He's not a shomer. I don't care be'alav emo, be'alav en emo. I own it. Anything happens, patur. That's the real answer at the end. You're owner. You're a halachic owner. Again, you're not an owner to damage it. You're not an owner to say, oh, throw it in the, you know, burn the field that I'm, no, you can't be mazik. But you're an owner enough that you're not considered a shomer and you're not liable on anything. And why do they do that? Because they didn't want the lady to sell the field when he's alive and then he's going to lose the whole perot. So that was considered lokeach rishon. Mikaradin, goof nechseya milog, the goof hem shela isha, and she only has perot. Verak im tamut bechaye ba'ala, now only if she dies and the nechasim she still has, then the Torah says he inherits, and therefore technically from the Torah law, if she sells it when he's still alive, the sale should be a sale. But he can still eat perot while she's still alive. Once she dies, the field is going to go to that guy. The rabbi is to keep shalom by it, so a lady's not going to go sell the create tremendous strife.
All of a sudden, the husband realizes she sold the nechse midlog, and now she's going to die and lose the field. Oh, but you know what? It's going to come back to you. You were okay, Haishun. I bought it first. So therefore, there's not no shomer.
In a case
when the wife rents before she gets married, now he's like right. The owner.
That, not, very good. Very not a socher.
She was a socher, so now he owns it like she.
Correct. Now go back to the original question.
Now,
now go back to the original question. So she rents. Now he gets married to her.
He takes
over. Okay, he takes over. How does he take over?
As a socher. That's what she was.
Lokeya.
As a lokeya. Incidentally, that's what we say. When the lady sells it, that sale retroactively is nullified. Because she had no right to sell it. The husband bought it first. So therefore, that sale that she sold when she was alive, if she dies, the sale's not a sale. Because already I was the first buyer. And therefore, the husband has no responsibility in this. Not like a shoel, and like a sukher. Ba'er ami barhama. Ba'al b'nechse ishto. Okay, new case. You have a lady. She inherited stuff, nechasim, nechasim milog, her husband needs to pero, stuff like that. But amongst the stuff she inherited, and now the husband has it, there's hekdesh in there. In the stuff, there's things that are kodesh. Now the husband did not use the items yet. But now what happens? It's automatic. It falls to the wife, and right away, transfers to the husband. So the question is, mi ma'al? Is the husband considered mu'el? That'll have to pay keren b'chomish. Because who's hayav in na'ira, by the way? The one that takes it out of hekdesh. It's an hekdesh, right? The guy that uses it and pulls it out of hekdesh is the one that has to pay principal plus a fifth. So I can look at it like this. It went down the pipe. It went from the father who died. It went down to the lady, but it goes straight from the lady to the husband. Even though he didn't touch it yet, but it's like he took possession, therefore he's mu'el. Therefore he's going to have to... Now by the way, that's only b'shogeg. So he's shogeg, he doesn't know what's in there. Once he took possession, you have to pay kirim b'chomesh. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Rava says, hold it. Man lim'ol. Who do you want to say is chayav mi'ila? Lim'ol ba'al. You want to say the husband. Wait. Which means you can't force the husband to make a kinyan on something that he doesn't want. When this comes down the pipe from the wife to the husband, which part of the assets do you think the husband wants to acquire? The stuff that's heter. He doesn't want to acquire the hekdesh stuff. So you can't say, well, you acquired the hekdesh stuff, that's me'ila. I don't want that stuff. You can't force that stuff on me to make me hayav in me'ila. Good. Tim'ol ihi. Oh, so make the lady hayav in me'ila, because it came through her first. Again, de'etera namelu nihala delikni. Which means, by the lady, de'etera namelu nihala delikni. Which means, by the lady, she doesn't even want the husband to get the heter. She don't want anything to go to the husband. Again, what's that side? Look at Rashi. If it was up to the lady, she wouldn't give him anything. Again, takanat hakamim is what? Takanat hakamim is that the money goes down to the lady and then goes down to the husband. So the Gemara's first side of the question is, oh, the husband's boy, came to him. He said, I don't want the marry. I don't want the Ekdesh. Okay, so let the lady be mu'il. Now, how is the lady being mu'il? Can be. Now, because you're going to blame the lady because she gave it to the husband. She gave it to the husband. The lady can come along and say, hello, I didn't even want to give the good stuff to the husband. They forced me. Even the hetera, she don't want to give over. She wants to keep everything to herself. The rabbis forced me. You know who maybe makes me'ila over here? The rabbis. Nim'alu bedin. Maybe it's the bedin. Because the bedin is sending these goods down the pipe. Therefore, they're going to be hayab me'ila. Gemara says, ki avdu rabbanan takanta ve'amru ba'alokeya have le'etera le'isura
lo avid rabbanan takanta, which means when the rabbis came along and made a takana that these items are going to go to the husband and exim milog, they only made a takana on the heter stuff. They didn't make a takana that he's going to give him the isu stuff, so you can't blame the rabbis for me'ira either. Ela marava ba'al ma'al lekshiyotzi midi rabbi amotzi ma'ot ekdesh nechonin. The husband is going to be hayab me'ira when he uses the item. Like a regular guy who takes a cash and uses it. But just for possessing it, I didn't ask to possess the heter, the isur. The lady, I didn't ask to give him this. And the Beit Din says, we didn't possess him. The bad stuff, we only possessed him. The good stuff. So the husband that has a cash in his portfolio, when he spends it, then it'll be hayab in me'ira. Iba'ilehu. Okay, new question. Kahash basar machmat melacha mai. You borrowed. Okay, we never discussed this. You borrow an animal. Let's say the animal dies while it's working. The deen is the borrower is patur. Even though a borrower is hayav and onus, but meta mahmat melacha patur. What I borrowed for? I borrowed to use. Now let's say at the time when you were borrowing it, the animal thinned out. It leaned out. So now you're returning back an animal that's much more thin. So again, kahash basar mahmat melacha. Do I have to pay or not? Amar le'ahu merabbanan v'rav chalkiya ben revi ha'shemeh michlal, implying from your question that you're only asking if it got thinned out, if it got weak. Dechi meta mahmat melacha mechayev? Are you telling me that what? That if it died, he's going to be chayev? And we know that's not so. Nema lovely ukma bichilta shilta. The guy can say, listen, I didn't rent this or borrow this animal to put it behind the curtain. Bichilta is a curtain. You gotta say that, I'll explain again. The Gemara's question was, you borrowed the animal, at the time of the working it thinned out. I'm going to have to pay for this depreciation.
If it died, why would
go slow. For here? It didn't die yet. It thinned out. I'm going to have to pay. So the Gemara says, oh, you're implying that if it died, you'd be hayav to pay. Why should you be hayav to pay?
You didn't want to put it in the box.
I can tell the guy, I borrowed an animal, it died while I was working. Would you expect me to borrow it and not put it in a box or put it behind a curtain? I borrowed it to work. So he's saying, well, what's your question? When I borrow it, it thinned out, that's what I borrowed it for. Ela marava, lo mibaya kahash basar, mahmat melacha de patud. אלא אפילו מתה מחמת מלאכה, נמי פטור. תעמלה לב לעוקמה בחלטה, שאלתה. Which means really you're patur in both cases. You're patur whether it thinned out, and not only when it thinned out and depreciated, even when it dies. Because you can always tell the owner, I didn't borrow it to put it in a curtain behind a box. I borrowed it to use, and that's usage. Therefore, the deen is, מתה מחמת מלאכה פטור, and כחש. מחמת מלאכה פטור. ברוך אדוני לעולם. אמן ואמן.